Okay, we're talking about prayer. We talked about what prayer is not. Then we talked about what prayer is, and prayer is communication to God. How many of you want your prayers answered? Amen. How many don't? That's a good sign. That's a good sign. We all want our prayers answered. But many times we do what's called, I call, a shotgun prayer. And that is because the church has not been taught how to pray properly. We just pray any way that we want. But it's so imperative that we recognize that there are many different types of prayer. And with each different type of prayer, each one produces a different result. So, if we don't know how to pray, we're going to pull out a spoon to build a house. If we don't know how to pray, then we're going to be begging God when there's no need to beg God. In fact, here's one, a fact that many people don't know, and that is that Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. Never once did he pray for a sick person. Jesus, the closest he came was with Lazarus. And if you remember the prayer, "Father, that they may know we are one." Never prayed a thing for Lazarus. "Father, that they may know we are one." What Jesus did, he used a type of prayer that called Lazarus's spirit out of... Hold on. No, we don't believe in sleep. Out of Abraham's bosom and into his physical body. So there's a need to recognize that different types of prayer will change who you are. So the first type of prayer we want to talk about is called the prayer of supplication, which is a humble, earnest, detailed prayer. Everybody say detailed.
Detailed.
It is so funny how many people have, how many of you have ever prayed for a need? You have a need in your life and you pray for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all have that. What's amazing is that the religious world has taught so many that you shouldn't ask for a lot. That you shouldn't ask God for too much. That you got to be humble and just ask for little stuff. We got to get a hold of this, that is not true at all. The Bible says, if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father wants to bless you. We know in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. Anything the old Testament guys had, we got better than they do. Because Jesus died on the cross and it's a new covenant. And so what is supplication? It's when you're praying for a need in your life, and you must be specific. It's a challenge for people. Well, one time, and I know this example's in here, so I'll keep talking, and when I come to it, we'll get there. One time I had a secretary, and she said, "Pastor, I need a stove for my kitchen. My stove died." And I said, "Well, you know, what are you believing for?" So she said her good religious statement, which was, "Well, whatever God will give me." And I said, "Awesome, whatever God will give you. Father, give her whatever you want." One day, she comes home and her husband had been driving by a road, and there sitting out on the road was one of those nasty yellow 1960s stoves. And free was written on it. So he picked it up and he brought it to her house and had it installed before she ever even got there. She walked into the house. He thought she was going to be elated because, "Lord, whatever you want to give me." So all of a sudden, she walks in. She goes, "What is that? Oh, the Lord blessed us. He blessed us with a free stove." And she says, "I hate that stove. That is puke yellow. That is disgusting. I don't want it in my house." And she came to work the next day, and she's complaining to me. And I said, "I don't hear nothing." "You got exactly what you asked for. Whatever." She says, "Well, I've got to change my prayer." And I says, I would change my prayer if I were you. I mean, it's your choice. I said, "So what do you want?" And she says, "Well, I want a white stove. And I want it, you know, the electronics on it and all that stuff." And I says, "Well, great. Well, let's pray." I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're going to give her a white stove, that you're going to bless her with it, that, Lord, she's not going to have to pay for it, and that, God, she's going to get it this week." Yeah, that's specific. Well, aren't you supposed to be specific? That's what supplication is. It's specific prayer. So guess what happened? Her father visited the next night, walked into the house, looked at the stove and said, "Oh my goodness, what is that?" And said, "Honey, listen, I can't let you have that. Go to Sears tomorrow, buy whatever one you want. Make sure you have them install it, please. Father paid for the whole thing. He's not even born again. Didn't even know that she was complaining about it. You see, God knows what you want. We get this all religious stuff. My mother-in-law one time, she was praying for a new car. Now, my mother-in-law, she lived with us for a few years, and she was just a great lady. And she said to me, she said, well, I'm believing for a car. I says, Edith, what do you want for a car? And she said, well, you know, whatever the Lord will give me. I said, that's really a dumb prayer. She says, no, I don't want to ask him for too much. I said, I know. God is weak and needy. Isn't that the mindset that most of us have? God is weak and needy. Yeah. Come on now. What is heaven made of? What are the streets made of in heaven?
Gold.
So what are you asking for? Lord, I just need some pavement. You see, our mindset says God is needy, God is weak, God is poor. But God is saying, dude, man, this is nothing. You know, I own everything. We are the ones that put God in the position where he's got to give us junk. So my mother-in-law, she told us what she was praying for after she got it. My brother-in-law just got his taxes back and wanted to bless his ma, so he went out and bought her a red neon car with a spoiler on the back. It was used. With black rims. He drove it in front of the house, and I'm thinking, she's definitely not that sporty. And she looked at me and she said, exactly, that's exactly what I prayed for. I wanted a red little sports car. Red little sports car with black rims. I says, go, Edith, man. That's thinking cool. So supplication is so important to understand, because we come into the mentality in our Christianity where we believe that God is weak and powerless, and God is poor and in need and in poverty, and God is not. And God wants to bless you with what you are believing for. And there's a need for you and I to be specific with our prayers when we're asking for stuff. Now, supplication is important. It's important to recognize that you supplicate over stuff. Anything that does not have its own will, when you pray, you can supplicate for. Detailed. Let me say it one more time. If it has its own will, a human, you can't supplicate over a human. They have their free will. But if it's a thing, an inanimate object, you can supplicate over an inanimate object. Lord, I am believing for this kind of house. Now, you need to understand, my wife and I, and we're believing God for a house right now. My wife and I have been very patient. We've lived in the same house for 17 years. And we were blessed. Man, I remember we had bought a house on homeowner finance when I was on the road as an evangelist. Did not turn out well at all. The bank showed up after paying, I think it was 3 years worth of mortgages. Bank showed up with the police. I was already on the road. Knocked on the door and told my wife, you need to vacate because you haven't paid your mortgage in 3 years. Well, we had proof. We paid the guy that was supposed to pay the mortgage. He never paid the mortgage. He pocketed all the coins. And so we lost that house. We had $21,000, $22,000 wrapped up into the home with down payment, renovations, da-da-da-da-da. And we lost it all. And so we went and lived in a rented house on Sing Sing Road. And my wife was working at Liberty Travel. And I was still traveling here and there, and we had started the church. So here we are. My wife said, we need a house. I said, great. So she got a pre-approval of like, I think, $80,000. And so she went out looking for a house. And she found one that was $99,000. I said, honey, you're approved for 80, not 99. She said, that's the house. I said, well, I'm glad you're a woman of faith. She says, no, you don't understand. I walked in, that's the house. I hadn't even seen it yet. She says, you probably need to come see it. Because I really didn't matter at that point, you know what I mean? And she had already extended her faith. She said, that's what I was believing for. That's what we're going to have. That will be our house. So, all right, I walk through the house. Nice house. It's a Cape Cod, relaxed, you know, in a good neighborhood across from the school, 10 acres out back, maybe 7, 8 acres out back, the fire department that will never be used. We could use, play around, have fun with. And then we have a field out front, another 8 to 10 acres. No, you know, it's never been worked. So it's nice. Well, my wife decides she's going to put in a bid for $78,000. And I said, honey, great man of faith. I said, honey, you know, they want 99,000. She says, well, I'm only offering 78 because that's what the Lord told me. And that's our house. The real estate agent told my wife, simply said, you are going to offend them. They're not even going to counter. The next day, we got a message back from the real estate agent. I can't believe it. They accepted the offer. And we bought that house for $78,000. God is faithful. But you've got to be willing to supplicate, which means you've got to get detailed with God. God is not overwhelmed if you say you want a red car. He can do that. God is not so weak, or he's not weak to where if you're believing God something for specific, with specificity, that he cannot accomplish it. God can do whatever you pray for. But if you don't pray for it, then how can you expect it?
Amen.
When you pray, be specific. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And they all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. So they're in prayer with details, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Why am I bringing these verses out? Because a lot of people think the word prayer and supplication are the same word. They're not the same word. Supplication is different. It's the specificity of what you're asking for. Stop being afraid to ask God for specific things. I am one who's learned this. So when I pray for anything, I'm extremely specific. I don't buy junk. My dad taught me, don't buy junk. You buy junk, you got to replace it in the next few years. So this is, when you're not right with God, it's a bad thing. But I made a decision that I wanted certain things. And I've always, I remember one time my boys and I, we wanted some hunting land and an ATV. So we grabbed hands in the name of Jesus and started declaring. We supplicated over what we wanted. And we sowed a seed. And you know what? I found a guy that was leasing a piece of property in the town of Orange that abutted, I think it's almost 2,000 acres of state land, where I was able to lease that piece of property for like $100. And then I was able to purchase an ATV with money that we had received. And we walked out, and exactly what we prayed for, we got. God loves to bless you with specifics. But remember, when you're praying for specifics, it has to be an inanimate object, something that is not a human. Are you out there? Because they have free will. They have free will. So supplication is very powerful. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious. Don't be worried. Everybody say, don't be worried.
Don't be worried.
Turn to someone and say, worry is a sin.
Worry is a sin.
Oh, I feel Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So what are you talking about? That means this. When you start praying, Father, I thank you. Let's just take my mother-in-law's car. Father, I thank you for a red car with black rims that's a little racy. Well, then what you do is this. If you pray and you receive, you start to praise. Well, I can't see it yet. Well, that's the difference between faith and hope. Hope is I'll believe it when I see it. This is how many Christians pray. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. That's not faith. There's no faith in that at all. Faith is calling those things which are not as though they already are done. Father, I thank you for the little red sports car with black rims. Lord, I give you praise for it already. Lord, I thank you that it's already being done in the spirit realm. Lord, I call those things which are not as though they already are. If I say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, I shall have what I ask. Lord, I thank you that the answer is already accomplished. And I want you to recognize that in eternity, when you pray, it might be a week, it might be a month, it might be a year, but the moment you pray, the answer is already answered, and God is working to bring it into the tangible. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in
heaven.
How is that accomplished? Through prayer. Through prayer. And when you supplicate, you're actually reaching into the eternal with your words and bring it to manifestation on this planet. Now, for those who don't understand these principles, that's what you need to grab a hold of. Because prayer isn't talking to a ceiling. It's not talking to a fake God. It's not talking to a religious God. It's talking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who said, let there be and there was. There's nothing impossible for him if you believe. There's nothing that he cannot accomplish. No matter how detailed you are, God is able to provide for you exactly what you ask. And man, I tell you, when you start really realizing this, it changes how you pray. The paintbrush prayer has to go away. That broad paintbrush. Well, Lord, I hope it works. Well, Lord, whatever you bring me, I'll be happy with. Well, I'm not happy with just whatever comes down the pike. I want God's best, and God is one who doesn't mind giving the best. Show me one tree that's not intricately detailed. I was at the ocean last week. Absolutely magnificent. God never did anything half-cocked. When God does something, he does it the best. For God so loved the world that he gave his second son. Oh. God gave his best. God only does best. God doesn't do second best. God doesn't do, well, I couldn't figure that one out. Hey, Gabriel, you know, I tried it, but it didn't work, so give him the other thing. This is the mindset of Christians these days. The mindset of the believers. The word believer is so powerful because that's really what we're called. If you believe, that means you believe. What's believe? Believe is faith. Believe is trust. That if God says it, it is yours. So supplication is so powerful. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Asking it will be given to you if you're good enough. Oh, it doesn't say that. Ask and it will be given to you if you pray, Lord, whatever you give me. No. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Have you ever seek something that you're not sure what you're seeking? This whole Pokemon thing, that's all messed up. We won't get into that at all. A bunch of foolish. Only poor people seek after Pokemon. Now watch now. Well, let me qualify. Only poor people seek after Pokemon because they waste their time that they could be investing in their own life to bring success rather than wasting of time running around something that's foolish.
Yeah. Come on now.
That was free, by the way. That had nothing to do with prayer. When you seek something, you're detailed in what you're seeking for. What are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for my red shirt. Well, I'm looking for that pair of shoes. You remember the pair of shoes that has the black laces? When you seek something, you're looking for something specific. So this is what it's talking about. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's not God's will that I get it. Listen, God will even give you the desires of your heart, even if your desires are wrong. That's important for you to understand because that will mess some of your religion all the way up. I knew a man that was asking God for 3 apartment buildings. He didn't want to make any down payment. He wanted to do homeowner finance where he could immediately take over, start getting rent, and just pay the other guy off. Boom. No lie, man. 3 apartment buildings. And you know what? I looked at him. I says, man, are you sure you're supposed to do that? He goes, well, no, but I just think that it'll be fun. Sure enough, he didn't take care of his stuff properly and lost all 3 buildings. God gave it to him. No question. God blessed him with it. But he couldn't handle it. So So we must learn to seek after specificity. And you will find, knocking shall be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who what? Asks what?
Receives.
Well, you know, if God can figure it out, maybe he can do it. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone?
Everyone.
Everyone who knocks, it shall be opened. For what is a man there among you? If his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone. If he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, gives good things to those who love him. And I love the book of James. It says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Mm. Listen, God wants you to have nice stuff. We have a poverty mentality that permeated the church. That if you're poor, you're more spiritual. Money don't make you rich. Money don't make you poor. But I tell you, the Bible says money answers all things. Money can't give you happiness, but it keeps you from stress. How many of you lost one night of sleep over money before? It comes down to where God wants you blessed, and even the stuff that you have, you can be specific in what you're believing for. God is able. The next type of prayer is called intercession, and that is standing in the gap between God and another person. This is praying for an individual that deserves judgment. They deserve that they, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What happens is this is a type of prayer that stops the judgment of God. Isn't that amazing that God has given you and I the ability to stop his judgment? God will actually stop movement towards judgment because of you and me. You didn't realize you were that powerful, did you? He gave you that power. But you and I, according to intercession, and we can start reading here in Genesis chapter 18, verse 22, and 23 through 32. I probably won't read the whole thing, folks. This is the principle of Abraham and dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Abraham came near and said, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for 50 righteous that are in it? And God says, far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as wicked, but far be it from you. And this is what God says, shall not the judge of the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous within the city, I will spare this place for their sakes. And it goes all the way down to 10. Oh, by the way, there weren't even 10. But if there were 10, the intercession of Abraham would have stopped the judgment of God upon the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. God relented. God stepped back from judgment if there were that many. Why? Well, simply because a man did intercession. He stood between God and people where judgment was going to be given, and he interceded for them, and therefore God was going to stop judgment. Intercession is so powerful, and this is where you and I pray for our families. How many of you have at least one family member that's not born again? That if Jesus Christ comes tonight, they're not going to go to heaven. This is where we intercede. Father, I'm standing in the gap for, let's say, Father, we're standing in the gap for Kimmy tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you take the blinders off her eyes. For the devil's come and he puts blinders on, spiritual blinders on people, is what the scripture says. And so there's a need to stand in the gap between God. You know, we have people that pray over the country. Father, we stand in the gap for America. Lord, bring grace to America. Lord, America deserves, because of the national sins that we have done. Remember, when you sin privately, it's private judgment. When you sin state-wise, it's state judgment. But when you sin nationally, when the government rubber stamps sin nationally, there'll be a governmental judgment. Judgment goes on dimensions. So here we are, you and I have the capability of staying the judgment of God by interceding between God and man. It's a powerful position that God has placed us in, and we have a great opportunity. Psalms chapter 106, 19 through 23. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things at the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood between him in the breach to turn away his wrath, he would have destroyed him. The power that you and I have through the power of prayer of intercession. You know, that's what we pray for here. Lord, I thank you for this region. I bind the devils over this region in the name of Jesus. I declare that this region, Chemung County, this entire region, Lord, that you have given us authority for, we stand in the gap and we declare that this region shall be saved in Jesus' name. That the devil cannot have our children. The devil cannot have our sons and daughters. The devil cannot have our husbands and wives. The devil cannot have our families in the name of Jesus. That is standing in the gap and stopping the judgment of God. We literally have the capability of stopping God's judgment on the earth.
That's right.
That's called intercession. We see it again in Ezekiel 22, 30 through 31. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap between me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found not one. That's why the enemy works so hard against prayer, because he knows the power of prayer. God is moved by prayer. Different types of prayer for different needs. But if we understand the power of prayer, then we can literally stop the hand of God and judgment upon our region and see God's mercy flood it. This is not a joke. This is not a game. This is not religious mindset. Ha ha ha. This is literal authority in heaven that he's given us. I want to remind you that he gave us jurisdiction. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth. You and I, as the sons and daughters of God, as priests and kings, we have authority on this planet in the spirit realm that will affect the natural realm above, below, and on. In Jesus' name, literally, things have to adhere. Things have to be motivated through that name. You are not some weak little Christianette hoping to get by. Hopefully I go to heaven. But for goodness sakes, you better banish those foolish thoughts. You are a powerful man and woman of God. You are one that literally can stay the hand of God against a generation. You and I are literally the ones that can call those things which are not as though they already are. You and I are literally the ones that when we pray in specificity, God will say, I can't wait to bless him with it. There's things I'm praying for, I can't wait to get them, and when I do, I'm going to show them off for Jesus. The next one's called the prayer of faith. I love the prayer of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed in the physical senses. So this is what it means. Faith says, before I can see it here, I've already gotten it. It's already mine. If something's already yours, do you continue to pray for it? No. If something is already yours, do you need to continue to ask for it? If I gave Steve $100, he asked me for $100.
He's ready.
Does he need to keep asking me for the $100 that he's already received? If he knows that if I tell him I'm going to give him $100, he knows I'm going to give him $100, but I haven't put it in his hand yet. Did I already give it to him?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's already his. If I'm a man of my word,
right,
it's already done. God is faithful.
Amen.
If God says it, it's already done. Before it ever would reach his hand, it's already his. Now, the American church doesn't pray this way. The American church prays, well, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. Oh, well, you know, it hasn't come, so maybe I need to keep praying for it. Well, you know, I can't see a manifestation, so it must not be God's will. For goodness sakes, what you're doing is you're canceling with your words the very answer that God has already started to deliver. I can't wait, I can't wait to start preaching my next series on the power of words. I already gave one message on it, but the power of words, the seed of your words. It'll blow you away how many of us in this room have stopped the hand of God because we have spoken doubt and unbelief rather than faith. The prayer of faith is calling those things and saying, before I can touch it, it's mine. And this is a challenge for people because many people have weak faith. Well, how do we get faith?
Hearing.
Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What you'll find is the people that listen to the word more, read the word more, have more faith. Why is that? Because the word of God, the seed of God, gets into the heart of man and produces what? Faith is produced by the word. So the more word you have, the more trust you have, the more trust you have, when you pray, you receive because you do not have the cancellation of doubt. Amen. Doubt is one of the most evil things that could ever come into your life. Doubt is your enemy. Remember, we did the first words, remember? God's first words were, let there be, and there was. God's first words were, and he blessed whatever he created. Adam's first words, he blessed his wife Eve. The first words we see from the serpent was this, bringing doubt to God's word that what he said was true. Doubt is your enemy. The prayer of faith is one that is so powerful. And I remember one time I was on the road as an evangelist, and I was driving by Pine Valley, and I saw across from the Busy Bee Market, there was a car sales place in there, and there was a 1995, now this is 1997, 1995 V10 Dodge pickup truck with 4x4. And I said, I've got to have that truck. I drove in. I said, can I test drive this truck? And they said, sure, you can test drive the truck. And so I test drove the truck, and man, I'm talking, that thing was powerful. I mean, that it's hard not to peel out. And so I said, I really like this truck. And so I went back to my wife. I asked the guy how much it was. He says, the guy's losing it to the bank. It's 14.4, 14.5. I says, well, praise the Lord. He says, but the taxes, the guy never paid the taxes on the truck. He's kind of been driving it illegal this whole time. And I said, so he says, you'll need $2,000 down just to pay the taxes. And then you'll need, I forgot what it was, $400 or $500, whatever, to get all the rest of the stuff. And so I went back to my wife, and remember, we were just getting on the road, so we didn't have a lot of coinage. And I said to my wife, that's my truck.
She was impressed.
And she said, okay, let's believe. So I called another buddy on the phone that I know is a great man of faith. And I said, let's pray together. Let's do the prayer of faith. Let's call this that is impossible, that it will be accomplished. Now, I was getting ready to leave to Dallas, Pennsylvania to preach at a church. Now, every year that I had been there, they had blessed me with, you know, about $800, $900, sometimes $1,000. But not a lot of money when you're going and preaching a long series of revivals. And so I declared, I said, in Jesus' name, I thank you for $2,000 cash. I thank you for that truck that I'll be driving that in the next 2 weeks. Now, immediately your flesh says, oh boy, I hope this works. You must arrest your flesh because the enemy of faith is doubt. Remember, the children of Israel could not go into the promised land, not because God wasn't able to deliver it to them, but because they doubted and they believed the 10 spies over the 2 spies. How you believe is how you receive.
Amen.
How you believe is how you receive.
Amen.
And so I went to this church, and I'm sitting down. I'm at the pastor's house, and we're eating supper. And he says, where's your wife? I said, well, she's back home. We got three kids. You know, my mother-in-law and my wife, you know, they're back home. And he goes, well, what does she drive? I says, well, right now we're just believing the Lord for a car. And so it didn't say anything more than that. And that night he stood up in front of the church and he said, Brother Spencer needs another vehicle. I want to raise money. I'm going to put the first $1,000 in.
Wow.
I says, I feel God. I've done the prayer of supplication. I know which truck I want. Now, I've already got a grant, and they received an offering, and another $1,000 came in the offering. And then, exactly what I prayed for. And then, they gave me an offering for preaching there. Well, I think it was like $700 or $800. That was the largest offering I had ever received to that date. I came home, put the $2,000 down. I said, thank you, Jesus. And by the next week, I was driving that truck. The prayer of faith is so powerful. God is not moved by your need. God is not moved by your circumstances. God is moved by faith. This is very important to understand. If God was moved by need, all poor people would be fed across the planet. If God was moved by need, there would never be anything that didn't need any. There would never be anybody that didn't need something. God's not moved by needs. God's not moved by hope. What's hope? Hope is futuristic. I hope it works. I hope it happens. God is moved by faith. What is faith? This is what I'm believing for. Father, in Jesus' name. You don't pray anything in your name. Your name doesn't move God. In Jesus' name, I thank you that according to your word, this is a thing that you want me to have. So I declare in Jesus' name that it is mine. And when you're unwavering, when you're never going to allow doubt in, you will see the answer come your way. The prayer of faith is so powerful. What faith is not? Faith is not, I believe it when I see it. Faith is not, I can completely understand it, so now I have it. This is what I love about faith. If you can understand the whole thing, well, then you're God. Is anybody here God? No. I've watched God provide my needs from areas I never would have thought possible to happen. Great example. We're getting ready to do a major revival. It's $35,000 to do this outdoor crusade that we're doing down in Elmira. It's $35,000. And we haven't even, I think we have $3,000 put towards it. And so, I mean, we're committed. I mean, this is it. We're doing this beast. People said to me, Pastor, you know, maybe you need to be realistic. No, I don't need to be realistic. I need to be a man of faith. Amen. I need some pavement. Amen. I need some eternal pavement. Amen. Last week, somebody walked in, put a $15,000 check down on the table. Another man came to me, he says, I have another 10 coming. All of a sudden, we don't really need a lot of money. Another man came up and said, I'm going to put $5,000 just for advertising. That wasn't even in the budget. It's amazing when you trust God, when you trust God, when you trust God, when you put your faith in God, you have no problems. Put your faith in God. When you put your faith in God, when you trust God, and it is His design and His desire, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the banker says. I love Miles Monroe made a statement once. He said, a banker came and said, we've got problems, Miles Monroe. And Miles Monroe said, no, we don't got problems. God's got problems. I'll be right back. He walked out to the parking lot and he started praying. He said, God, you got yourself a problem. And what looked like an impossibility, the banker figured it all out and made it work. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. It's time to believe. You see, that's the awesome part about being a believer. Is we believe. We don't believe what we can see, what we can touch, what we can handle. We believe those things which are not as though they are. That's true faith. Faith is saying, listen now, I don't have the new sanctuary yet. in the flesh. I can't see it. I can't touch it yet. In fact, I'm going to hire somebody. We're going to have them come in and draw it so you can all see what I've already been seeing in my spirit. But I want you to know, before we ever built this building, that detention pond right there was built for the new building. That power source was built for the new building. The sewer system built for the new building. Everything on this property has already been built for the new sanctuary that seats 2,000 people. Well, where is it? Oh, it's already there. I mean, God sees eternally, doesn't he? So it's him, it's already built. Yeah. Where's the money come from? Well, that's not my problem.
He knows where it's coming.
That's God's problem. All I have to do is have faith in God. Well, you know, I don't know if that really works. You're sitting in it.
That's right.
You're sitting in a building that is impossible for you to be sitting in. This building was built for $25 a square foot with radiant heat. If you don't know about building, it should have cost $130 a square foot. $25 a square foot. You're sitting in a miracle. You're sitting in faith. When I drove by this property, when it was just a cornfield and a pot field, it was a pot field too.
Pastor Cody.
It's true, it was a pot field. And the Lord said, that's the land I want the new building to go on. It wasn't even for sale. But it doesn't matter if it's for sale. The circumstances don't matter. What matters is, do you believe God? And so I went to the tax assessor. I found out who owned it. The guy lives in New Jersey. I called him up on the phone. I said, I'd like to buy your land. He says, well, it's not for sale. I said, well, I want to buy your land. He says, okay, $5,000 an acre. I said, sold. He says, well, I mean, how are we going to work it? I says, well, I got $20,000 down. You got to hold the note for 3 years. Oh, I'm not doing that. I said, no problem. We came down, we marched around this place declaring it as ours in Jesus' name. He calls me back a month later. He says, okay, I'll do it. $20,000 down and I'll hold the note for 3. I said, we only got 15 left. I'm not doing it for 15, he said. I'm not going to do it for 15. I said, no problem. Why would I not go into stress? Because it's already ours. He already said it was ours. I know what God says. If God says it, I don't have to doubt it. I don't always figure out how he does it. And then the guy calls a month later. Actually, I'm sorry, doesn't call a month later. He shows up in my office from New Jersey. He says, all right, I'll do it. $15,000 down. I'll hold the note for 3 months. It says, we only got 10 left. He said, I'll do it. I said, sold. We went to the church. I believe it was 2 weeks later. We stood up and we said, this is the land for the next piece of property. We've been in this school long enough. Let's get this thing done. And that day, over $90,000 was brought in. I'm not talking like someday it will happen. Boom, $90,000 was written out in that congregation. And people would look out there and not think anybody had a dime. But I want you to know that God has people and God has you. And it's not that one person writes a check. We all give and God blesses. And all of a sudden, this land's paid off. Well, there's no money for a loan. Where are we getting money? We're not that old. Now, you need to know banks demand at least 9 years worth of records, and they really want you to be denominational so they can fall back on somebody and get their money. We went to the bankers locally, and there was not one bank that would give us the money. And then Brother Ted called me. He says, I found a bank that you need to get a hold of. They're Christian businessmen and Christian businesswomen. They're not a normal bank. They are Christian people that want to invest in God's kingdom and build churches. I think you need to call him. I called up Mr. Dushan. I said, hi, sir. How are you? You know, this is what we're believing for. We need $1.1 million. And he says, no problem. How's like $10,000 down? Now, if you know anything about commercial loans, it's usually 30% down. So we should have had to come up with $300,000. Instead, God made it so we only had to come up with 10 grand. And today you're sitting in a miracle. How did that happen? Because I have faith in God and know's not an option. And what good does doubt do anyways? What can you accomplish with doubt? That's all, worry. How many people have ulcers because they've doubted so much? They've worried, been anxious, stressed out. Stress is not for you. You walk by faith and not by I walk by faith and not by sight. I want you to know that faith can also be measured. Jesus said to some, O ye of little faith. He said to others, O ye of great faith. And the disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. So faith is powerful because we can grow in it. I remember when I first started to believe things, and my first prayer of faith was for a Bible. I have the Bible in the other room. I bought it in 1984. I had, my parents didn't help me with Bible college. My father would give me a job in the summer painting the most horrific houses in Athol, Massachusetts, going up 30 feet, climbing between wires, and fighting bees. I hate painting, by the way. Don't ever ask me to paint anything. Although my wife did pay me $100 last week, and I painted in Corinne's bedroom. She paid me, because it wasn't going to happen any other way. And I needed a Bible. And I needed a specific Bible. I wanted this specific Bible with wide margins, with references in the middle. And I needed a Strong's Concordance. And so I started praying for it, and I wanted another type of Bible study concordance. It's called a commentary. So I needed these three things. I didn't have any money. You know, I had saved enough money, so I had $30 a month. That's what I lived on, $30 a month. And I was thinner then. And I remember a missionary came in from Haiti and said, I need people to sow $15 a month into the children that are dying in Haiti. So I said, I'll do that. So now I got $15 a month. And I'm washing my clothes in the sink at the Bible college. And I needed these three things. And I said, God, I need these three things specifically. All of a sudden, never told anybody, the next day, the commentary ended up on the door in front of my dorm. I then got a lot of taxes back. I got $40 back that year, which paid for the Bible. And then someone came up and said, man, I need an alarm clock really bad. Would you sell me your alarm clock? I said, I hate alarm clocks. I'll sell you my alarm. Enough to pay for the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. In every way, it was all taken care of, and I walked out with what I wanted. See, when you have faith in God, He can move mighty mountains. There's nothing God can't do. The challenge is, will we believe? And that really is the challenge. Because the devil knows if he can put doubt in our lives, that it discontinues the answer from heaven. See, Satan does not want your job. He does not want your money. He does not want your house. God, Satan doesn't want your children. Satan doesn't want your health. And Satan doesn't want your soul. You know what Satan wants? He wants your faith. Because if he has your faith, he has all those. If he can get your faith, he's got everything else. This is why, yeah, just straight man. It's why the devil keeps you out of church as much as he can. It's why the devil keeps you out of the Word every single day as much as he can. This is why he keeps you out of this kind of study as much as he can. Because there's a problem that happens here. The Word is taught here. Faith rises here. Faith, when you have faith, you can move heaven. When you don't have faith, Satan moves you. Because you walk more by sight than by faith. Therefore, you're not walking in the Spirit. So, Matthew chapter 21, verse 19 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have, the word if is important. If is important. Can you go grab a purple chair and bring it over to that side for me, please? Actually, grab two. If, everybody shout if. That's a key. How many of you know that's a key? So God is saying this. If you have faith, which means if you don't have faith. So there's a flip-flop here. There's options here. If you have faith, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. But if you do not have faith, then you will not get what you ask. So many believers get frustrated with God because they don't get what they want. The reason they don't get what they want is they don't stay in faith. They don't pray in faith. They pray in hope. I hope it works. And God is saying, you either trust me or you don't. Either I am the God of my word, or I too am a liar, a weak, a needy, a poor, pathetic God that cannot accomplish anything. This is where we come to an understanding. Some people look at me and say, you know, you're really cocky. I'm not cocky. I just know what I believe. And I don't care who you are. You're not moving me. I mean, I've already proven God. I've seen way too much, way too many miracles. I've seen way too many people that no one ever thought would be born again, get born again. I've seen people delivered from demons. I've seen people that have had brain tumors, have the tumor disappear, proven by the doctors. I have seen so many signs and wonders. I have seen the miraculous dealing with finances. My wife and I are supernaturally blessed on a consistent basis. How is that possible? Because when you understand that God is able, then nothing can move you. And doubt has no place in your life. Turn to someone and say, doubt has no place in your life. So the prayer of faith is very important. Feed on the word. You must know the word. You must live in the word. When doubt starts coming, you must get in the word. And I'm going to brag on these two young men. They got nice hair. You can just leave them there, man. Watch. They both have situations going on in their life. Well, they came to me. Don't come to me if you don't want me to give you an answer. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm going to tell you how it works. I'm not going to give you my opinion. My opinion means nothing. So I said to this young man, I says, you must be in the Word 4 to 6 hours a day. Well, he's never been in the Word before. In fact, he'd been coming to this church for 2 years, 4 years, and I used to have to charge him $25 every single time he skipped church. Dead up, man. He used to pay me, too. One day, a situation came in his life that brought him to the bottom, and he actually called upon the name of the Lord, and he got saved. He came to my office, and he said, what do I got to do? Now, he's a big man. He's no little wussy girl. He's a big man, and here's a big man in my office. He's crying. He said, what do I got to do? What do I got to do to get through this? 4 to 6 hours in the Word, Steve. 4 to 6 hours in the Word. Well, I don't like to read. I said, I don't care if you like to read. Put the headphones on, put on the app, listen to the Word, 4 to 6 hours a day. Listen, within, I'm not lying, 2 weeks, he was a completely different man. It was nothing to him. He couldn't change the wings on a fly. But what happened is the Word changes you because the Word is seed and always brings forth harvest. The more words you have, the more faith you have, the more faith you have, automatically you start living and believing that God is truly able. And when God is truly able and you call those things which are not as though they already are, there's nothing that you can't do. Listen, don't tell me I can't do anything. Listen, I've already proven time and time again in my life, don't tell me I can't do anything because I can do whatever I want to do. I can accomplish anything that I need to accomplish. How do I know that? Because my God's on my side. And if God is for me, who can be against me? And that's just the way it is. Man, I don't care what has come down the path, and I've had a lot of things come down the path that should have made me shiver, scream, and whine like a little girl, go in a corner and crawl up in a little ball. But I made a decision a long time ago. I'm either going to know God, I refuse to be religious, and if I know my God, then there's nothing that could ever come down the pike because I trust God, and God is able to do abundantly above, not just get by, but abundantly above all I could even imagine or think. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard. My heart is not even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. So hang on, man. God's got great things, but you've got to stay in faith. That's right. I just really sense the anointing.
Yeah. He's preaching. Yeah.
Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. But if you don't know God, you don't know his word, man, no wonder you stumble. If you build your house upon the rock, when the winds come, the winds blow, can't shove you down. But if you build your house on the sand, which is religion, nice little thoughts or visitation to God, then when the winds come, baby, you're going down. Everybody always blames God. It has nothing to do with God. The next one's called the power of attorney. I love the power of attorney. The definition of power of attorney is to act on behalf of somebody else. To make decisions for someone else as if you are that person. That's what it means to have the power of attorney. It's all in the name. So, if I have the power of attorney of William Buffett, I can go to the bank and write a $1 million check. But if I don't have the power of attorney for William Buffett, I can write a $1 million check and sign William Buffett's name. I'm just going to jail. Why? Because I don't have the authority to write his name. I don't have the authority to release anything in his name. It's not my place. But if I have the power of attorney, I have the capability of writing their name and it being legal. God gave Jesus a name. His last name is not Christ, by the way.
Nope.
Just, I wasn't sure if you realized that or not. Jesus Christ. That's not his last name. That's Christ is Christos, Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And God gave him a name, I love the word, because the Bible says that God gave Jesus a name that is above every single name. Authority is being passed like a baton. God the Father, and I know I'm going quickly, but that's all right. We got to go quickly. We don't have a lot of time in this. God has given us authority to act on his behalf in Jesus' name. I want to remind you that God the Father was the one working with mankind. Remember we did our big timeline? God the Father worked with mankind until Jesus came on the earth. When Jesus came on the earth, God the Father passed the baton to his son. Jesus is now God in the flesh working here on this earth. That's why Jesus said, I only do what the Father's told me to do. He passed the baton. So whatever Jesus said, whatever Jesus did, he did under the authority of his Father because God gave him the authority to act on his behalf. We know that because in John chapter 14, Jesus said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, how is that possible? Because Jesus was working on behalf of the Father on this planet. Therefore, when God the Father sent his only begotten Son, he passed the baton. So now Christ was taking the next leg of God on the earth, working as God in the Godhead. When Christ ascended on high, we know according to John chapter 14 and 16 that he sent who? The Holy Spirit. Now that baton has been passed. But Jesus also passed a baton to you and I. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, go and preach the gospel. Go and preach my message all over, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, I now give you authority. Now, there's two words for power in the New Testament. The one word is called exousia, which means authority. The other is dunamis, which means supernatural ability or supernatural endowment of power. God has given us the exousia to release the dunamis on behalf of heaven in Jesus' name. You see, we have been given the power of attorney on this planet. Now, showing Christ, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. John chapter 12, verse 49, for I have not spoken of my own authority or exousia, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Matthew 28, 18, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. John chapter 5 verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son to have life in himself. Jesus then gave the authority to us to act on behalf of heaven. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples to the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority, dunamis and exousia, over the demons and over to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. John chapter 14, 10 through 14. "Do you not believe that I and the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father that dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works will he do, because I go to the Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." The verses go on and on and on and on and on. You and I have authority in heaven. This is why when we pray in the name of Jesus, we can have what we ask. Now, the problem is, if you don't understand the name of Jesus, then you just pray nice little prayers. You know, God's gracious, man. God hears us. I mean, he loves us. But if you want to get what you're really praying for, you don't pray by accident. You pray with understanding. In the name of Jesus. When you pray in the name of Jesus, the Father said, "Whatsoever you ask in my Son's name, I will give it to you." Not, "I might give it to you." "I will give it to you. If you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you." Do you believe that or not? This is where, again, we get back to faith. "Well, I hope it works." No, that's not faith. "Well, it worked for so-and-so, but I don't know if it's going to work for me." That's not faith. "Well, I prayed, but nothing seemed to happen." That's not faith. That you must stay to the line that if you pray in the name of Jesus, you cannot allow doubt to come into your life. In Jesus' name. When I pray, I don't pray in anybody else's name but the name of Jesus. When I'm praying for a sick person, I speak to that sickness in the name of Jesus, because the sickness has to obey the name of Jesus. This is not a joke. This is not religion. This is the reality of how we bring the kingdom of God from heaven to manifest on this physical earth. It's the name of Jesus. God recognizes that name as the name at the bottom of the check. And when the name on the bottom of the check matches what's in the account, then the release is always there. Amen. If I go and write a check, and I'm write a check for $1,000, but I have $100 in it, am I getting $1,000? No. I don't have enough funds. Insufficient. But I want you to know there's no insufficiency in Jesus. There's no insufficiency in heaven. So when I go to the Father in the name of Jesus, there's nothing that I can't have. Honestly, there's nothing I can't have. When I pray, I get what I want. You can ask my wife, you can ask my children. Whatever I pray for, I get. "Well, that's because you're special." I am God's favorite son, but besides that, God loves not one of us more than anybody else. Nobody here is more special than anybody else. When that name is written on the bottom of the check, there's no insufficient funds in heaven. God can give you whatever you need, but you've got to believe that that name is not just a name that people use as a cuss word. That name moves mountains. That name casts out devils. That name commands sicknesses to come out of bodies. That name drives out depression. That name brings hope to the hopeless. That name makes miracles manifest. That name brings heaven to earth. It's a powerful name that you and I have. We have available to us, and that's the prayer and the power of attorney. The prayer of agreement is really cool too. We don't have time. How far am I? Okay. We're going to have to stop there. Anybody have any questions? We'll pick up next week on the prayer of agreement. So does anybody have a question concerning intercession? Yes.
When you're asking, can you ask for too much?
Now, I know you are an amazing dad. This is Paul. He is an amazing dad. Paul, let's just say you have $1 million in the bank. If your daughters came up to you and said, "Daddy, we don't want to ask for a lot, so I just need $10. I don't want to ask you for, I really need $1,000, but I don't want to ask you for too much, I just need 10. Would you give them $1,000? Sorry, Gracie.
Sure.
All right, let's move on. I've never found a father or a mother, when they had excess, that they wouldn't bless their children with it. And this is the mentality of religion. Religion is that our God is needy. That our God really doesn't have the capability of doing what we ask. So don't ask for too much. Why wouldn't you ask for too much? If your father's rich, I was just hanging with a dude. I was just hanging with a man down in Florida who just sold his last company for $75 million. And when he asked my wife and I out for lunch, I've known him for many years, but never known him. So I've never really hung out with him. He came and he shook my hand. And I looked down and went, "Oh yeah." As I looked at the Rolex that had diamonds completely surrounding it. Oh. Well, that afternoon I went out, you know, my wife and I went out and hung out with them and stuff like that. And I looked at his watch, and it's a different watch. I said, that's not the same Rolex you had on today. He goes, "No, that was a $60,000 watch." He said, "This is just $30,000. Just a $30,000 watch. But no, you don't understand. What impacted me was not, "Wow, that was $60,000, or "Wow, that was $30,000. What impacted me was, that's really no big deal to him. What's $60,000 to $75 million? What does your father in heaven have?
Streets of gold.
Yeah. There's nothing he doesn't have. What's $60 million to God? Honestly, what's $60 million to God?
Nothing.
I was talking to the bishop, and there was a pastor out in Las Vegas area who was building a building. It was a $60 million building. He has got the largest loan from a regular bank than anybody else has ever had. $60 million bucks. He stood up in front of his church and said, "We all know if we don't build this building, then we just got to remain, we can't grow the kingdom anymore here because there's no more room. So I need you to sow." A man stood up and he says, "I'll give you the first $20 million. Another one stood up, "I'll give you $5 million. Another one stood up, "I'll give you $5 million. Within less than an hour, they raised over $50 million. You know what it is? What's $60 million? If you can believe God for $5, can't you believe God for $50 million? Does it take any more faith? Does it take any more faith to believe God for that metal chair or that cushy, nice little purple chair? It doesn't take any more faith. It just takes asking. For God can do anything. We think he's got to go through our avenues of our understanding. God can make it. God could make something happen that you never even imagined, and all of a sudden you got what you're believing for. I've had people come up and bless me where, of course, no one ever knew what I was praying for. A person I would never, ever, ever think. I would see them, if I look at them, I would see them as somebody that has nothing on this planet. And they would walk up and they would do things that I would just be flabbergasted at. Because God, I watch sinners give. I watched the mayor of Elmira give to uproar. And she was a Christian Scientist. Honest, guys. How big is your God? How big is your God? How can you ever ask too big? Oh, by the way, he bought his son a house. He bought his daughter a house. He bought them Corvettes. Wow, man, that's like crazy, isn't it? No, not to somebody who has that much money. It's not. It's just that we always judge our life according to our assets and not access. That was chewable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We judge our life according to our assets instead of our access. Shoot, man, I gotta write that down. Crap, where'd that come from? Questions? Yes?
What I was telling you about last week after class, how you're talking about the list.
Yes. Be specific. You just got to know that God will always know. He was believing for a spouse. And when you're dating, remember, you don't date unbelievers if you're a believer. That's a sin. God's not going to bless you if you're asking to date an unbeliever. I mean, how could he do that? He'd be going against his word. So you only ask for a believer. And then what you do is you want to be specific. You know, some men like large women. Some men like small women. Some women like redheads. Some men like brunettes. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking God what you like. That's a horrible joke. It's a horrible joke. It's a horrible joke. So I'll tell you. It's really good. There was a man in Bible college. Just a joke. There was a man in Bible college. He's getting ready to graduate, and he had two women that were really, they both wanted to marry him. One was the most beautiful girl in the whole school. I mean, she was gorgeous. I mean, she would stop cars. She was so hot. And he looked at her, and he said, wow, she wants to be my wife. But she couldn't sing, and she couldn't play piano. And then there's this another woman. She was homely, but she could play the piano like nobody else. And when she sang, heaven opened up and glory filled my soul. He had the choice of two women, and he said, Lord, which one should I get? And God says, whatever one you want. And so he says, well, you know, I want to be practical. You know, when I go into the ministry, I need a wife to be able to play piano and sing. So he chose that woman. He chose the woman he really wasn't attracted to. And one day, he rolled over, about 5 years into the marriage, looked at his wife in bed and went, sing, woman, sing! Sorry. But when you're praying for a wife, you want to pray for a woman, you know, that's going to be attractive to you. Yeah. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. You know what I mean? We all don't behold the same way. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. Just, you know, those are prayers. But you have to understand that God's preparing the wife for you and God's preparing you at the same time. Yes?
Well, when you're praying and... if you do feel like there's doubt, that is Satan making you doubt.
If you do feel like doubt, then one thing you want to do is immediately get into the Word. You cancel doubt with faith. Faith comes from the Word. So whenever doubt starts to rise, immediately you submerge yourself in the Scripture. Immediately. Hebrews chapter 11 is a phenomenal book. It's called the faith chapter. Get right into the book of Hebrews. Start filling your life with faith. Man, you can't read the Word and supernaturally faith just starts to rise. So whenever doubt starts to come, you combat it always with the Word of God. What did Jesus use when he fought the devil? The Word of God.
You can ask him to arrest your thoughts.
Yes, and you can ask him to arrest your thoughts. Because your thoughts don't have a right to have freedom in your life. Yes.
For intercession,
can you pray for more time for the rapture? Yes, absolutely. God will give grace and mercy. Let me be honest with you, God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And listen, he should have already come, because there's no more prophecies left to be fulfilled. He can come tonight. The only reason he hasn't come is because he doesn't want anybody to be lost into eternity separated from him. So we can pray that through, and that's what I'm doing. God, give us more time in Elmira. Give us more time in this area. Give us more time in our region, because I just can't let any more people go to hell. Can't let them go to the lake of fire. Last question. Well, see, that was very easy. There wasn't one. Can I pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, you see that, right? In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You said that we can come before your throne boldly, Hebrews chapter 4. And we can ask petitions. Lord, this is what we ask tonight. Increase our faith. Lord, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. We ask Jesus by the Holy Spirit that you will teach us how to pray. That we'll be men and women of faith. That we'll be men and women of intercession. That we'll be men and women that, Lord, will call those things which are not. Lord, we'll be so specific and you'll bring such a specific answer that there's no way that man could ever get glory. We thank you that you've not left us weak, but you've left us powerful. And the prayer of faith will change lives. So God, we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.